Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. It's great to have you with me again this week. I'm giving this sermon today for February 12th, 2023. We're in the sixth Sunday in the season of Epiphany. And we're going to talk about the passage 1 Corinthians 3, 1-9. I'm going to begin with a word of prayer. We're going to talk about our subject for today, which is much deeper than the body, is what I called it. And I'm going to read the passage out of the New American Standard Bible. We're going to have communion together at some point, and then we're going to close with the benediction. So that gives you a little bit of what we're going to do today. And so let's begin now with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that we can be together today, that we can gather as the body of Christ, even though we can't be in person. We do ask, Heavenly Spirit, that you would make Christ more and more real to us. Unite us with you more wholly and completely. And we thank you. This is all through Christ in the Spirit. Amen. You know, I'm taking a couple seminary classes this semester at Grace Communion Seminary, and I love to recommend that seminary. You can work at your own speed and take things at home because it's all online. It's great. I've learned a lot during my time there. I have a master's in pastoral studies, and I'm working toward my master's in divinity through the seminary. There's a couple of the classes I've been taking, I've been learning about the practice of ministry and doing some field work in one of my classes. One of the things that I was reading about here the last couple of weeks is that God does who God is. In other words, God is in his being what he does in his actions. So if you were to look at God's actions, it helps you to see who he is, specifically in his actions in the person of Jesus Christ. For example, God is our Redeemer. He was the Redeemer for Israel, the ancient nation of Israel, and he redeemed them by bringing them out of Egypt. And God redeems us by bringing us out of evil, sin, and death. He's a Savior, and so he saves us. And Jesus himself said, if you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. And Jesus, what did he do? He came as God in human flesh to live our life, die our death, and rise again for our salvation and redemption. Now, the gospel reading for today is in Matthew 5, 21 to 37. And I encourage you to go read Matthew 5, 21 to 37, because that's the gospel reading. And it's a little bit about what we were talking about today. I'm going to use the New Testament reading, which is in 1 Corinthians. But in Matthew 5, we see Jesus begins by talking about, we are blessed because. And then he says, how we live and act needs to go much deeper than just the externals. He doesn't want us to simply look good on the outside, but he wants us to be the people he always meant us to be, the ones who reflect the very nature and life and love of God. You know, Jesus goes beyond the physical appearance, the outward signs and actions, and he begins to go a little deeper into the heart and mind, into the desires, what our impulses are, what our motivations are, what our passions are. And he says, this, we need to attend to this. And that is why he came, because he knew at the core of our being who we were meant to be, we'd gotten off track a little and he needed to bring us back. And so often we as human beings don't realize that who we are drives what we do. And if we believe that we're despicable, worthless, useless, a lot of times our actions will reflect that. But when we begin to understand we are the beloved children of God, adopted in Christ, we are not orphans, we are not forsaken, we are beloved, we are held in Christ in the interrelationship of the Father, Son, and Spirit, it begins to transform and change us. Well, the way we begin to act differently because we know and believe we are who God meant us to be. And so notice that Jesus is what Jesus does. And we see this in his life and ministry. And so often, as God in human flesh, the things Jesus did during his ministry while he was on earth reflected who God was in his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion. You saw him healing people. You saw him raising the dead. You saw him touching the lepers, which was forbidden and dangerous, not to mention. And, touching the dead, which was considered unclean. He didn't just touch him, he raised him from the dead. So we see Jesus doing things that show God's love. So as God in human flesh, who is love? God is love, right? And he showed that by the way he lived his life. In his life, in his death, even dying on the cross for us, in his resurrection and raising us all to new life, in his ascension and bringing us home to the Father and sending us the Spirit even. So we see the way God deals with our failure to love, our turning away from him, our rejection of him, our evil and sin is it's rooted in who God is. God is love. So he comes to us in Christ, forges within our human flesh a new creature, dying, making our sinful flesh die, and rising it again in his resurrection. And in Christ we find we're made new. And then we find in the sending of his Spirit, we are each individually able to participate in that new life, to be united with God in Christ, in right relationship with Father now and forever. God's response to our offenses is in Christ, in his own self-offering, reconciling everyone to himself in Christ. And as Paul says, you are reconciled, so be reconciled. No. You are, this is who you are. You are my reconciled adopted children. So be, act like it. Be reconciled. That's that whole already not yet thing that I like to talk about a lot, right? It's true, but it's in process as well. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 17, this is just a side note, Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, we stop looking at people, we stop even looking at Christ in his flesh. Through that sinful flesh, we stop looking at them through that lens. Now we look at them as being new creations. So we see people the way they are. That's who they are. So let's live like it, in other words. Think about this. Jesus talks about, and we were going talking a little bit about Matthew 5, and he's talking about covenant relationships and how the leaders of the Jewish nation at that time had so altered the law that anyone could divorce for any reason. And it was creating issues for a lot of the women who had no hope, you know, if their husband tossed them out because they were at dinner, they were out of luck. And then no one would want to marry him again because they weren't given a certificate of divorce. They were just, you know, abandoned. And so Jesus was saying, look, you know, this isn't right. But God, if you look at God and how he handles covenant relationships, he always called his relationship with the nation of ancient Israel, his people, Judah and Israel together, he always called it a marriage relationship, that he was married to Israel. He was in covenant relationship with them, and he was faithful to them. Even though they were never faithful to God, they always found idols to worship. They always made up their own religion. I mean, they were always doing other stuff, relying on other nations. I mean, they were unfaithful to God in a lot of ways. Well, how did God behave? He was always faithful. And even to the point that eventually God comes to his people in Christ to lay down his life, to say, once and for all, I'm going to deal with your unfaithfulness. It's done. It's dead on the cross. It's dead. So we see that God is faithful in his person, and so he's faithful in his action. And that's who he is. He's faithful. God is what God does. God is a God of his word. His yes means yes. His no means no. He promised to crush the serpent's head back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve turned against him. And it was the serpent, Satan's fault. And he promised that that would be dealt with. And he did. He dealt with it on the cross. He promised he would come and deliver and redeem. And he did. He promised to be faithful to his people, and he was. And so we see that God is what God does, and he created us in his image to be a reflection of who he is. And so because we cannot attain that on our own, Christ comes, takes on our human flesh, and forges within us that capacity to be who it is we are meant to be. So looking at our passage for today is in 1 Corinthians 3:1-9. And I'm going to read in the New American Standard Bible, and then we'll talk about it a little more. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. So here the Apostle Paul is talking to this church who, even though they've been given the good news of Jesus Christ, they've been told, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, you are accepted, you are beloved, but they're not getting it. They're not going deeper than just the issues that they were dealing with among their church. And it had to do with things like who was the greatest status, who had the most money, where should you marry or not marry, and all these things that were really, in the long run, not the point. And there had to be something deeper going on. So Paul says, for you are still fleshly, in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 3. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? So they were acting and walking as though Christ had not come, that he had not delivered them and redeemed and restored. They were living in their flesh, not in the truth of who they were in Christ. So in verse 4, Paul says, for when one says, I am of Paul. And another says, I am of Apollos. Are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? And see, what was happening was Apollos, Paul, these were speakers. These were men who had come and given them the good word, the good news. They were caught up in the personalities and the rhetoric and the presentation and all this stuff, and not realizing what really mattered. They weren't going deep enough. In verse 5, Paul goes on, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. So as Paul and Apollos presented the gospel, they came to faith in Christ. But they needed to move a little deeper. So Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Now, spiritual growth, that is what we're looking for, is we don't just come to faith in Christ and then we're stuck at that spot. No, we come to really begin to look at Christ and learn about ourselves and learn that there are ways in which we may need to grow and develop. The old is dead. It must go away. The new has come. We live and walk in Christ and not in our carnal human flesh. So the truth is we have new life in Christ. So we live like it. We act like it. We change. So Paul says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. So Paul is talking about how, you know, as people who are presenting the gospel, Apollos and Paul were participating in what God, Christ was doing in the world. They were busy doing God's will and sharing the gospel. But the thing was, how did the change occur in the people who believed? Was that because Paul got up and spoke? Or was it because the Holy Spirit prepared their hearts, moved in them, began to do a work in them? Is it because Apollos was very excellent in presenting the gospel, had a really good speaking style, knew exactly how to present it? Or was it because God worked through him using his gift and ability in speaking and touched the hearts and minds of those who were listening and moved them to repentance and faith? You see, a lot of times we get caught up in the doing and we miss seeing who we are in Christ and the fact that God has gone to work and is at work in the heart and in the mind and is drawing us into a new place, into the new life that is ours in Christ. God is what God does, right? What we need to look at is God has said who we are. Who are we? We are his beloved adopted children in Christ. We've been given his Spirit. God dwells in us. That's who we are. So what we do, our actions we take, the things we say, that begins to reflect that reality, not what others may say of us or what we used to believe about ourselves or how we used to act. That's all dead in Christ. We are now a new creation. And the good news is God will finish what he has begun in us. That's the good news. He never stops working. And he has declared in Christ the reality, the truth of who we are. And he's going to work in us by the Spirit. And we can either resist that or we can participate with that. know, the Apostle Paul is, loves to say, don't quench the Spirit, don't resist the Spirit, don't insult the Spirit, don't ignore the Spirit. No, he says, you know, be filled with the Spirit. And so he's saying, give yourself to God. Let him do what he knows how to do. He will finish what he has begun in us. And there's a difference, and Paul is addressing this, between living in the truth of what Christ has done or living in our unredeemed flesh. And we see, you know, Jesus, when he, going back to Matthew 5, when he's talking about, you know, what you look like on the outside isn't what really matters here. It's what's going on in the inside. We can live looking great, but what's really going on inside? And are we living in our unredeemed flesh or in the truth of who we are in Christ and what he's done for us? Are we being led by the Spirit, following Christ wherever he wants to go? The thing is, and this is one of the points I want to make today. Too often, especially here in America, we make the false, or I believe it's false, indication. I don't know quite what word to say, but we tend to think that our action of believing is what makes us different. If we would just believe, things would be different. But that's getting the cart before the horse, because we cannot believe a thing if it weren't for the fact that Christ did first. He's the one that forged into our human flesh our ability to believe, our desire to believe. It is Christ, because he is God in human flesh and lived the life we need to live and died the death we need to die, who makes it possible for us to believe. He's the source of the faith we need for anything, really. You know, if you feel like you have no faith and you want to believe, you desperately want to believe, ask him for his, because he's got plenty to give you. That's the point in sending the Spirit. You know, at one point Jesus says, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pop it out. You know, if your hand causes you to cut it off. He's not telling us to cut off parts of our body. What he's saying to us is that doing this kind of stuff is what changes us. It's hyperbole. It's an expression of exaggeration. The point is, we're never going to be any different than what we are right now today, except for Christ. It's Christ's eyes in working in and through our eyes that get us to look at things properly and appropriately. We want to stop, you know, looking at things that are not life-giving, then maybe we need Jesus' sight. Begin to see things through his eyes. Begin to see that maybe there are some things we just don't need to be looking at. And Jesus gives us the ability to do that. Our ability to not do certain things, how does that happen? Christ, it's his not doing things that we need, right? We need his heart, his mind. He goes to work down in here, and pretty soon we discover we just don't want to do that stuff anymore. We discover that he's at work. Now, the thing is, though, Jesus never does this without us being full participants. We got to cooperate. We got to participate. We got to get on board with what he's saying we should do. We can try all we want by radical self-discipline, just getting really strict with ourselves to try to change things. And it works for a while. And it is good to have, you know, to be disciplined in the way we do things. But if you really want lasting, genuine change, it needs to be way down inside. And the only person who can do that is God in Christ by the Spirit. And that is what we desperately need. And that is why Jesus came, because he knew we needed this big change deep inside. What's life-changing and life-transforming is Christ, the indwelling presence of God in us by the Holy Spirit. We are God's field. We are God's building. God is always at work, creating the body of Christ, bringing us together as people of faith to worship together, to serve others, to love others together. He's always at work, transforming our hearts by faith. But he calls to us to participate, to respond, to say yes to his yes, and to participate in what he's doing, whatever that may be. As we're gifted and called by the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit to love and serve others. Where does all that come from? It's God's life in us by the Spirit. It's Christ living in us by the Spirit. And the good news is, you know, all this stuff we talk about, you know, trying to be good people or trying to do good works or all these things we want to do that we think are expected of us. The reality is when it all comes down to it, it's not up to us to be the people God created us to be. Who's it up to? It's up to him. We find that God doesn't ask us to do anything without first making it possible in Christ. In Christ, we see that we are who we need to be. As God in human flesh, he has transformed, healed, renewed, restored our human flesh, raised it, crucified it in the crucifixion, raised it in the resurrection, brought it home to the Father in the ascension, and he sends the Spirit so every one of us can have that life at work in us and with us, united to the Father in the Spirit. We begin to live in the truth of who we are because of Christ. And it's all up to him. It's not all up to us. We just get to be a part of what he's doing. We participate. We yield to the Spirit. We let him do the work. And see, you know, we were reading about Paul. You know, the story of Paul, how he was a very religious man. He was a good man. And he was so diligent that he was even taking the believers and putting them in jail and having them executed because he believed that they were heretics, unfaithful to God. But when he met Jesus, Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul, I mean, that'd be horrifying to have the Lord say to him, "You're persecuting me," when he was trying to do the right thing. But Jesus said, "Now, from now on, you know, things are gonna be different." What made the difference in Paul's life? The indwelling Christ by the Holy Spirit. When God goes to work and gets us in the right place, gets us, you know, united with him in the Spirit, things are never the same ever again. And that's the blessing that we have in Christ. So weekly, I'd like to, you know, join together in communion. We'd love to be reminded anew. I like to affirm the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory, both now and forever. The Holy Spirit. Let us pray for a moment. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you are what you do. I mean, you're just that unity of being and doing, that oneness, so amazing. Thank you for infusing us with your life in Christ by the Spirit. We receive all that is ours, all that you've given us, your life, Christ. Forgive us when we turn to ourselves, turn to this world, when we turn away from you. Lord, we, in this moment, we turn back and open our hands and receive with gratitude all you've given for us. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Jesus said on the night he was betrayed, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. The bread that has been broken, we thank you, Jesus. He also offered wine, saying, drink this. This is my blood poured out for you. We thank you, Jesus, for pouring yourself out for us, and we receive your life for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our God, who is building you up into a spiritual temple, and enabling you to grow up in Christ and produce abundant spiritual fruit, bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope to see you again here on Our Life in the Trinity. Take care.